Bless each and every single one of you for your faithful participation in the offering this morning. Hallelujah. We're busy with the season and topic of fruitfulness, and I'm excited to see what God is showing us as we get into this. I'd just like to recap where we left off last week, but before we do so, let's just all turn to that scripture passage that we've been studying for a couple of weeks now. This is, I think, our third week in a row, John chapter 15, verse 1 to 17, that we can read it together. Should be coming up in here, or you can follow it in your Bibles, it's your choice. John 15, verse 1 to 17. Has everybody greeted somebody this morning? Is anybody here that has, nobody has said hello to you, and you're full biki, just in case, just greet someone again, net for in case. Just greet them, just in case they haven't been greeted. Hello everybody, how's it, Rory? Anel, how's it, jullie daar achter? Hello. Amen. Okay. Andy, het jy die vrou langs jou gegroet? Het jy? Is jy sissy? Okay, ek sien jylle is al twee even mooi. Wat lag jylle? Mense wat blijkbaar stemmen nie saam met my, hulle dink is een grap. Okay. Alright, are you ready to let the Holy Spirit change your life this morning? Amen. We just trust that God is going to do something in our hearts, because I've got nothing to give that can change our lives, but one word from God can truly set us free. Let's read together. Jesus speaking, and he says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. And as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, unless it abides in the vine, neither can you, unless you abide in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he's cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so you will be my disciples. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. These things I command you, that you love one another. Father God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can call to you this morning in the name of Jesus. Jesus, the lover of our soul, the one who stood in our place to take the price for our sin. As we celebrated that and reminded ourselves of it through communion this morning, we thank you that you have not left us orphaned, but have sent the promise of the Father, the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, work in all of our hearts this morning. Anoint every single person here. Supernaturally enable our ears to hear. You said, Lord, let him who has ears to hear, let him hear. This morning, Lord God, grow us all to the point where we are not only hearers of the word, but doers of the word. change us, mold us and shape us into the men and women of God that you want us to be, that as your body, that as the church this morning, we can bring glory and honor to your name. And all God's people said, amen. Hallelujah. Last week we looked at verse 4, and Jesus says, as I abide in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. We studied the fact that abiding means a long-term commitment, and that in all probability, anything and everything to do with God is going to take longer than most of us are ready to commit to. That it's a long-term process, that it doesn't just happen overnight. And that these things take time, and God is a process that takes time, and sometimes we want to short circuit and don't have patience for it in our lives. And we looked at the fact that the scripture says that let patience have its perfect work in your life, enduring trials and tribulations with patience, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. So it wants us to go through things patiently, and we will face things that will take a long time. How many of you know that when you pray to God, say, Lord, please give me patience in Jesus' name, what happens? It places you in situations where you're going to have to there and then start exercising patience as if you've already had it. Isn't it so? So this thing, this walk with God, I don't know what you expected when you gave your life to the Lord, but it's a forever thing. You see, you can see the fact that God is into things that last a long time because you are an eternal being. Your eternal life doesn't only start one day when you die. In fact, consider this concept that you have always existed in the mind of God. You've always existed in the mind of God. There's never been a time when God didn't exist. You always existed in the heart and the mind of God. He had this beautiful idea called John and Anna Marie and Dev. And one day he chose to let you be born into the world. And year after, depending on what choices you make now, when you experience a different phase of your life where die verganklike lichaam gee pad vir die onverganklike, then you start living in a different dimension, but still a life of eternity. It is long term. It's like that with God. And the process of bearing fruit, folks, dit gebeur nie net oornag nie. I know that when you got born again, and if you're truly born again, there were certain changes that took place immediately in your life. But not everything was in place. Ewe skielik net so. Is dit nie so nie? You started growing, and you started walking with the Lord. You started learning things. You started making a conscious decision to change certain things in your life. And these things, ladies and gentlemen, take time. I don't know where you're at in your life, what you're trusting God for now, what you're waiting for now. But it takes time. Can you imagine as jy in 'n plek is en jy's so ongeduldig, jy kan nie wag nie en jy's gefrustreerd, dinge gebeur net nie. If you could just allow that fruit of patience to be in your heart, how ewe skielik jou situasie gaan verander van iets wat nie lekker is nie, to something that is like, it's like, something that you look forward to with expectancy, and all of that just simply because of patience. We looked at the fact that bearing fruit also means caring for fruit. That we need to care and watch over and do things to protect and keep safe the fruit that is in our lives. We looked at the lengths that we go to protect things that are valuable and precious to us. What about the fruit of the Spirit? Do we guard it? How practically, in our day-to-day lives, how do we care for fruit? By watching what comes into all the gates in our lives. The eye gate, the ear gate, the mouth gate. What you feel, what you smell, what you expose yourself to. These are the things that we looked at involves keeping your heart. And then we looked at Proverbs. We looked at it from several translations. It says, keep your heart, watch over your heart, guard your heart. Because out of your heart spring all the issues of life. That's who we ended off last week. Can you say amen? Are you ready for this week? Verse 5. Hallelujah. I'm excited. I hope we can get to... There's a particular thing when I was putting the sermon together several weeks ago. I got so excited about this because I've been reading the Word of God for, 28 years now. Born again, 28 years. And God shows me something that I've never seen before. So if we get out to that part this morning, I'm really, really excited. But the rest is just as good. Okay, verse 5. Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. Everybody say, I am a branch. So put your arms up in a shape that you imagine a branch should be in. A picture. Dear Mark Sue. Het bekommer daarvoor. Well, maybe that's the kind of fruit that he bears. Some people ask, how come members of the gay persuasion are so good at darts, it comes naturally. Okay, let's help me stay focused. Lord Jesus, help me. Okay. We love everybody and you're next. Amen. Hallelujah. You are the branches. We are the branches. And he says, he who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Now, I beg to differ. I want to stay with Jesus there. I can do lots of things without Jesus. I did for 20 years. 20 years, ek het nonsens aangejaag sonder hom. Build my own empire, my own dreams and desires, my own plans, my own schemes. And I pulled a Frank Sinatra on myself. I did it my way. And what have I got to show for it? Bad memories, stuff washed under the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. I can do things without Jesus, but it's as if he's saying, that which you do without me is not even worth mentioning, because it is nothing. You say, without me, you can do nothing. It's like, what you do without me is nothing. That's what he's saying. So, that's why without him, you just exist. You don't live, you just exist. You're Jy gebruik suurstof. It's like I love babies, and the babies are cool and great. If you got them, it's fantastic. But when they're born, what are they? They're just food converters. They turn your hard-earned money into this green stuff. They're just food converters. And without Jesus, you just convert good, healthy oxygen into carbon dioxide. That's all you can do. That's Jesus saying, what you do without me is actually nothing. This saying, the slogan, only one life, it will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Mensa, if I thought, think about how much time and effort I've put into things that are just like, it's just stuff, man. It's just stuff. And it's amazing, he says, yeah, without me, you can do nothing. So what you do without me is actually nothing. This is, here's a thought, a concept. A constant reminder of our dependence on God will ensure humility, a perfect condition for growth. Isn't that beautiful? Yes, that's deep, eh? A constant reminder of our dependency upon God will ensure the perfect condition for growth in our lives. It's humility. There's certain temperatures and ingredients that need to be in soil and right amount of water to get stuff to grow. And when it comes to spiritual things, humility, ladies and gentlemen, is essential for growth. In James chapter 4 and verse 6, it says, but he gives more grace. And therefore he says, God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. What is the humble? You know, how many times, maybe you've prayed this. You said, Lord, make me humble. Have you prayed that? Please stop it. Samir, that means now, eh? Just checking. It means stop it. Don't do that. Don't pray for God to humble you. Nowhere in the scripture do you see any of the prophets, any of the scribes, Jesus, none of his disciples teaching you to say, God, humble me. God says, what does God say about humility? Humble yourself. Kom eerder op die plek in jou leven waar jy dan eerder self op jou knie gaan en sê, Here, vergewe my. Ek kan het nie alleen doen nie. Help my. Selfs vir die eenvoudigste ding in die leven. Humble yourself. Because when you humble yourself, God will give you grace. So if you're not humbling yourself, challenges, people. Challenges. And that reminding of ourselves on our dependency upon God. There was a experiment you can check this out. People put together pieces of human beings or whatever and built a cadaver and connected it up to machines and everything like that and got this thing to live and said, yo, we can create life. And a Christian apologist said, okay, do it without God's oxygen. Back to square one. Back to the drawing board. Folks, we can do nothing. What we do without Jesus is nothing. And to ensure growth in our hearts, there needs to be a condition, a very essential ingredient, and it is humility. We do well to remind ourselves, he is the vine, we are the branches, without him we can do nothing. I say this morning also,
Pray about everything. Even things that you can do well. You think, well, you know, isn't that like taking you see, we have a responsibility to do certain things as well. Can you say amen? You can't say, you know, Lord, just quench my thirst, and you never get up off your blessed assurance, go to the fridge and get something to drink. There's also a role that we have to play. Can you say amen? But pray about everything, even the things that you do well. Why? Because if you pray about the things that you do well, pray and ask God to help them to do you in to do them in such a way that it brings glory to His name. Even the things you do well, pray about those things you do well. The things that is impossible for you to do, absolutely, by all means, pray for those things. But even the things you do well, so that ask God's enablement to do them in a godly way. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 17, it says, pray without ceasing. Muni opo bitni. Especially when it's going good. Especially when it's going good. If you look at the teaching in Scripture about tithing and giving, God gave the command to tithe because He really, really needed the people's money, right? Not. He didn't need the money. No. Because the earth is His and everything that's in it anyway. Why? What is, in essence, what's at the heart of tithing? God said this. You're coming out of Egypt as a slave. I'm sending you into a land of plenty. It's flowing with milk and honey. And so that you don't forget where you come from and that I am your source, I want you to return to me a tenth of everything that you get so that you can always remember that I am your source. That's its purpose. Its purpose wasn't to rob you of stuff to spend or spoil your fun. No, it's to remind you, God, you are my source. Violate those principles and you're going to be financially stuck. It's like putting your money in a bag with holes in it. The more you put in it, the faster it falls out. You work. People today are working more and more and more and have less and less and less to show for it when you don't honor God financially. Dit kan nie anders te werk nie, mense. As jy wil sukkel, fine. Do it without Him then. It's going to always have sleepless nights about, well, not able to make this end meet and that end meet. Just do it His way too. Is that okay, church? So there's a principle there. There's a principle that we've got to apply. The thing of tithing is, that's why I did it, to remind us that He's our source. And praying about everything reminds us that He's our source. We are absolutely, critically dependent on God. Every now and again, I notice tiny little insects, small little insects, and I notice these things, as small as what they are. There's life inside that thing. How does He do it? How does He do it? The quantum world, the word quantum means energy, if my memory serves me correctly. Yeah, it means energy. I think so, yeah. Then check it out. But it's like it's subatomic world. It's stuff that we can't just see unless you wear serious microscopes. Those tiny little things, there's life in there. How does He do it? Inside me, there's no battery. I don't run on solar energy. There's no cable plugged in somewhere. There's no cable plugged in somewhere. The fact that your heart beats, like that, what makes it tick? God gives you that life, and in an instant it can stop. How so dependent we are on God for that. It's so critical to understand that. So His principle is to always remind us. Because when it goes lekker, when it's going good, and ons het tekort aan niks nie, it's so easy for us to just become complacent and forget who supplies us. Isn't it so? It's human nature to do that. We don't have to be subjects to that. In the name of Jesus, by Spirit, we can rise above that and be grateful always for what God does in and through us. Can you say amen? Jesus says, without me you can do nothing. I'm the vine, you're the branches. Without me you can do nothing. Fruit will never be visible anywhere else other than on the branches of the vine. It's impossible. You don't just walk out of your house one morning and see the fruit floating in midair. Years ago, I think it was on our honeymoon, Surat, we're coming back and we drove past, I don't know what kind of a tree it is, weird looking tree, it's got a weird fruit. It's like a long, long, long thing like this. It looks like a salami. So I took a picture. I got those days there was no digital, I don't know if there were digital cameras then, but we didn't have it. There were certainly no cell phones then. And we took a picture, and I showed my mom, check, Ma, we found a salami tree. She's like, is it, boy? I said, yeah, check the salami growing on trees. The salami can't grow on trees, folks. You know, so but fruit needs to, it needs to be attached to something from which it grows. And from which it grows. And fruit has to be on a branch. It can't be anywhere else. So let's just look at it from another angle like this. How is godly fruit ever, ever going to be visible anywhere if it's not in God's people? That says, that opens my mind to a whole new aspect of the responsibility that there is. You think, mense praat, and I know that just the sieke man het 'n gewoontekie, sê, hierdie ou gemeentekie, hierdie ou kerkie, hierdie ou, dis 'n klein kerkie. It's fine. But you know the responsibility that is on hierdie kerkie to show fruit? Dink jy, dit gaan net oor, pitch maar net op een Sondag, just to ease my conscience a bit, dan doen ek my Christelike daad vir die week, and then there's a responsibility on every single person here to bear fruit. So God is saying, okay, without the branches, my fruit is not ever, ever going to be visible anywhere else other than on you. Yo, Lord, that's a big, big, big responsibility that we have to be in a place where fruit can be visible in our lives. Here's the deal. Fruit must be visible in our lives in the natural world as well as in the spiritual. So think about that for a bit. In the natural world as well as in the spiritual. Well, fortunately, in the natural world, we have each other to whom we make each other, we make ourselves accountable to each other, isn't it? Remember, we've spoken a little bit about judging. People say you mustn't judge, you mustn't judge, you mustn't judge. That's not what the scripture teaches. There's a time and a place to judge. There are certain things that we're called to judge. Amongst believers, we're called to judge each other's fruit. We're called to judge each other's fruit. Not each other's motives, but each other's fruit. And to hold each other accountable so that we can do that like that. So within the natural world, we have each other that we can hold ourselves accountable. But in the spiritual world, who werd er dan? Well, let me just qualify it for you by scripture first of all. In Matthew 5:16, it says, so let your light shine before all men that they might see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Does it be there? Yes. Let your light so shine. Let it so shine. Let it shine in this way. Let your light how? So shine. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Live your life in such a way that it draws people to Jesus. Live your life in such a way that it encourages people to feel that they want to be part of the life that you live. Live your life in such a way. Talk about your church in such a way that people will want to come. Of in die week, gaan jy dan terug. Every now and again, I get feedback from people. There's a radio station called Radio Pulpit. And they get people to phone in to give feedback about what the pastors have spoken about in those churches. And oftentimes people say, Mozzie, this pastor from that church also spoke about this. And say, yeah, no, because, you know, maybe it's because we're hearing from the same Spirit of God. People have said this, yeah, yes, Mozzie, you know, that which you got must have been from the Lord because Joyce Meyer spoke about it. And must be from God, yeah, dear Lord Jesus. Oh, what! But there's a Spirit of God that guides and leads His people. Hallelujah. So let your light so shine before all men. We have a responsibility as the church to let our fruit be visible to the world in such a way that it makes people want to be part of this. You know, do you say, like as a Christian, you sing there, I will rejoice in you and be glad. I will extol your love more than wine. Or, you know, when you sing the songs that's like supposed to be happy, like, are you happy? Well, if you're not, fake it until you make it. Just start off by just You know, you use less muscles in your face by smiling than you do by frowning anyway. And you know, I'm not being insensitive towards this. You know, some people, we're literally living hell on earth. We're going through, we're facing stuff. We're dealing with issues. Oftentimes there's pawpaw hitting the fan. Hello? Anybody out there? Can anybody relate to what I'm saying? We go through difficult stuff, and you know, you're not always like on a spiritual high all the time. And you know, folks, if we could draw a graph of Christianity, it's most certainly not like this, eh? It's not like this, like bumps, and then it's like U-turn, and another U-turn. Okay, let's get back. It's not a science. It's not a science. But the fact is, we have to bear fruit. We have to bear fruit. Some kind of fruit must be visible in your life, and it will be dependent, like a plant is dependent on the nutrients in the soil, what kind of light it gets, etc., the water, all of those things will determine the kind of fruit that is visible in your life. So firstly, we are to bear fruit in the natural, and then also bear fruit that is visible to the spiritual realm. This is a powerful, powerful, powerful scripture. In Ephesians chapter 3, Paul's writing to the church in Ephesus, and he's explaining the mystery of the role that the church plays. And he says, the church is put together like this for this reason. Are you ready for this? Ephesians 3 and verse 10, he says, to the intent, in other words, for this purpose, that now the manifold wisdom of God, so God's wisdom, might be made known by the church. To who? The principalities and powers in the heavenly places. Think about that. Surely God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and the angels, the heavenly host can do that. God has given that privilege to the church. So that the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places. That's rulers of forces, rulers of darkness in the heavenlies. That's God's plan, that the church can show God's goodness, God's wisdom, the fruit of the Spirit, all these godly things to the principalities and powers. I think like, yo, surely the angels can do that. This vile leaf and alcohol on da. This must a baby die. No. That the manifold wisdom of God might be made known to the principalities and powers by the church. So we call to have this fruit visible in our lives like this. Okay. Romans chapter 10, verse 14 and 15 says, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? It's not just for preachers from platforms with microphones to do that. We have a responsibility. Tell me, who's responsible to preach your life's message? See, who's responsible to live out your testimony? I can't live your life for you. I can share your testimony with other people, but when you share it, this besonders, man. There's something special in it. The stuff that you've gone through, you've experienced a breakthrough from God, you've experienced an answer from the Lord. You have a responsibility to live your testimony. You live your life's story. You're a branch. My fruit can't be on your branch. My fruit can't be on you. Your fruit is to be on you. So we have a responsibility for our fruit to be visible in the natural as well as in the spiritual. So how shall they call on him in whom they not believe, and how shall they believe in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? How many of you have been sent by God? Can I see a show of hands? Okay, put your hands down. In Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 and 19, Jesus spoke to everybody. Not just those folks who put their hands up. He spoke to everybody. He said, Go therefore into all the world. Make disciples. Go into the world. Make disciples of all nations. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And teaching them to observe all that I have taught you. And lo, I will be with you even to the end of this age. That Jesus, what he's speaking to there, what he's referring to is the time that will be in existence before the second advent of Christ, before his return. So that was to everybody. Go therefore. It's not just for select people on platforms with microphones, can you say amen? Verse number 6, hallelujah. We're getting there. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire and are burned. It's like, oh. We looked in the beginning, that verse where it says he takes away. And we looked at the fact that the word there actually means lift up. And we studied it again this week, past in our care group, to lift up. But yeah, it cuts a little bit closer to the bone. It gets a little bit closer to the heart and says, if anyone does not abide in me, he's cast out as a branch and he's withered. Why do you think it's necessary for a branch to be cast out if it's not bearing fruit? I'll give an example. Let's say something, I sit funny and I get pins and needles in such a way that this foot is like all pop. I can't just get up and start walking. What do I have to do? Do you also get pins and needles? Just checking. Phew. Okay. Yeah, you've got to give it time to like recover so that you can use it again, or else it's like that hinder you. You can't operate effectively, and it's like that with the body. If there's something that is not bearing fruit, something has to be done there. Something has to be done there. If somebody's not abiding me, he's caught out as a branch and he's withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire and they are burned. Now, I never need to qualify what Jesus is saying, but I want to just expose this a little bit by explaining it to you this way. This, it's not a rebuke. It's as loving an admonition as there possibly can be. Because I want to remind you of the picture that Jesus is painting here by using this whole illustration of the vine and the branches. Here's Jesus the vine, and we are the branches. The vine is a part of the branch, and the branch is a part of the vine, right? Okay, can you? How many of you would deliberately want a part of your body to wither up, shrivel, and die? Think, what is your favorite body part? Don't tell us. Just think about it. What is your favorite body part? Some of you are still laughing. Get your minds back on the Word of God, please. Think of your favorite body part. Would you like that to shrivel up and wither and like sort of be cupped off and done away with? Would you? No. So why would God possibly want to do that to you? Never, ever, ever. But if you've got to get on with life, you've got to get around, you've got to walk, and there's like something, there's a foot that just, it's just like this, they will net me about me. Something must be done. It must be amputated. They've got to give me an Oscar Pretorius special, or they've got to give me something that I can just function better. Isn't it so? So that I can function better and make a significant contribution to society. That's why it needs to. God doesn't want something withered, thrown away, and then gathered to be thrown into the fire. It's himself he's talking about. He's the head of the body, and he wants it taken care of and nurtured. It's not a rebuke. It's as loving a warning as that there can be. Remember this image that Jesus is giving us of him being the branch, him being the vine, and us being the branches. It's him being the vine, and us being the branches. God doesn't want anybody to wither away, to be thrown away. And all, you see, yeah, did you know that the very forces of hell, no demon, not Satan himself, can force you to do anything? The strongest phenomenon on the face of the planet today, besides the omnipresence of God, is the free will of a human being. God won't work against that and go against that. We're not going to get into any more verses this week. I'm not going to start verse 7 because that's like just several minutes all on its own. But here's the deal. If the human will is so strong, folks, that's what we have. Depending on what you do with it, counting in your favor or counting against you. Think about that. So when we leave here this morning, your will, how are we going to exercise it in the week? to ensure that there's growth. And I'm going to start off with ensuring that the condition for growth in my life of humility is there. I'm going to start off with that humility in my life to ensure that it is there. Now remind myself that that which I do without Jesus is just nothing. I'm going to try and still do things. Lord, you know, so often we try this, we try that, we try this, we try that, and at the end we say, Lord, would you just, God bless what we're doing. I don't know so much. Shouldn't we rather have the attitude of, okay, God, give me insight into what you're already blessing and let me be a partaker of that which you are already blessing. He's saying, Lord, this is it here. Now just come and just fix this up here, or just, you know, give your approval for this, Lord. So if we have this, the most powerful phenomenon on the face of the planet, besides the Holy Spirit of God, our free will, how are we going to exercise that will this week to ensure that there's growth in our lives? Then the fruit that's visible. It's visible to men, visible in the spiritual realm. And, you know, we can put up a front. Yeah, I can play this holier-than-thou pastor, whatever, on a Sunday. But at home, in front of my wife, how I treat my wife? Or how do I treat the dogs when I'm angry? Do I take whatever out on the dogs? Get out of me, you stupid brock. And when I'm in a good mood, see, how am I then? That fruit then. And I think also, not only what people see and in the spiritual realm and the responsibility in the in the church and to the principalities and powers, but for yourself, where you sit now. Let's just examine the fruit in our lives now. What fruit is there? Is it the kind of fruit that you'd want to say, God, this is my offering to you, Lord. Everything I've learned, everything I've been taught, all the times I've been at church, every time I've been exposed to the gospel and taught about Jesus and his principles, this that's in my life, Lord, this is my way of saying thank you to you. What does that look like? What does that look like? But you know, maybe some of the fruits are started out as a nice, fresh, what did I eat last week? A peach. Maybe it started out looking like it, and now it's just all shriveled and dried, and it's like moldy, and insects have eaten away at it. Do you know the good news is that there's grace. Okay, let me say that again. Daar is genade. Iemand raak opgewonde, asseblief. There's grace. There's grace. I can come to God and say, God, things are not exactly the way it should be in my life right now, but there's grace. Lord, there's grace. There's you. There's a throne of mercy. I can ask for forgiveness. I can come and say, Lord, help me with this thing. Let's stand together. Let's make a solemn declaration concerning this fruitfulness in our lives. Okay. We pray together. You don't have to close your eyes. You don't have to. If it helps you concentrate on the Lord better, that's fine. By all means, say. Let's all pray out together loud. Father God, in Jesus' name, I thank you for your word. Your word changes me if I let it. And I pray this morning, I want your word to change me. Maybe there's fruit that is not pleasing to you. Forgive me, Lord. Jesus Christ, you are the vine. I am your branch. By your grace and with your help, you can count on me to bear your fruit. Holy Spirit, nourish me. Nurture me and grow me that I can bear fruit, much fruit, in such a way that my life will glorify you and cause a lost, dying world to turn to Jesus. And I thank you for that, Father. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. So touch somebody around you and say, be fruitful, be fruitful, be fruitful. Speak it out over each other. Speak it out over each other. Be fruitful, be fruitful, be fruitful. In Jesus' name, be fruitful, be fruitful. Hallelujah. I just declare, Lord, that even in this week, in the time that lays ahead from now till we get together again next week, Lord, people are going to exhibit fruit that they've never known existed, Lord God, because you live inside them, Lord. Thank you that people are going to wonder, what is it about you? What is different this week? And you can just say, God is good. You don't need to pray, you just say, God is good. Thank you, Lord God, that this is not just silly prayers, Lord God. We know, Lord, that you are serious about this, and so are we. We thank you that we will bear fruit, Lord God. I thank you that places on us and in our lives, Lord God, where there's been no fruit in the branches, there will be fruit in the place where there's been no fruit before, in the name of Jesus Christ. Not because we are holy, but because you are a good God and you're faithful and true. And we bless you for that in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Hallelujah. We bless you, Lord. Thank you for taking the time, for coming this morning and listening. May Almighty God bless you and keep you. May He make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May God lift up His countenance over you and give you peace that surpasses all understanding. And share your fruit with people this week. Don't be a fruitcake. Share your fruit in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Bless you guys. Thank you.